Jalen Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Jalen, Bob McCowan, how are you?
Really good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. We thought you were going to be on last hour, and I guess the wires got crossed or something. So we gotta kind of talk.
No, I was in a meeting. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was in a meeting that ran long.
Oh, one of those, huh? Don't you love television?
TV suits. Yeah. TV suits always have those meetings.
Yeah, ain't that true? What's your focus? What's your focus as we hit the midway point of this season? There are plenty of stories out there, but in many ways, for most people, seems like the same old story. Cleveland in the East, Golden State in the West. Are there any other things that kind of grab your attention?
Absolutely. They also have the first time, they also have the opportunity to be the first trilogy in the NBA Finals that we've seen, which is going to be awesome theater if we get there. You would have thought that that happened by now, particularly with the Lakers or Celtics' great dynasties, and it hasn't taken place. So, of course, that's the ultimate intrigue because the Cleveland Cavaliers are head and shoulders the best team in their conference when healthy. And the Golden State Warriors, while not head and shoulders, have clearly, to me, established themselves as the favorite. Other storylines that have jumped out at me when I have the remote control in my hand watching league pass is watching history being made by Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, having an opportunity to be the first player since the Big O to do such, and James Harden, the type of numbers that he's also putting up, with the opportunity to be the first guy since Tiny Archibald to lead the league in points and assists the same season. They're having a terrific season, so you must mention them. Kawhi Leonard, who's scored 30-plus points more than any player in the league so far this year.
That's right.
Still finds ways to get overlooked or fly under the radar. And those probably are the main ones, just watching those guys perform so early in the season. And Isaiah Thomas in the East.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter barrages that he's put on and really elevated himself as not only a legitimate all-star, but one of the top players in the league.
Actually, before you mentioned Isaiah, my biggest concern, the way you were talking, you other than mentioning the Cavs off the top, all you were talking was the Western Conference. And that to me, the imbalance and the power of the West versus the East is, in my mind, really one of the big stories in this league.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it's something that fluctuates seemingly based on the great players in either conference. But here's something that's truly going to support what you just said. Since 1999, that's when Duncan started winning championships right after the Jordan era.
Mm-hmm.
There are only a handful of teams that have won the West in that period, and they all had Hall of Famers leading the way. How about the Lakers 7 times, in particular with Shaq and Kobe, then Kobe later on in the decade. The San Antonio Spurs with 5 championships. The Golden State Warriors won the West twice. The Golden State Warriors won the West twice. They have 1 championship. The Mavs won it twice with Dirk. They have 1 championship. And then you have Oklahoma City, who had their big three at the time with Harden, Westbrook, and KD, won the Western Conference once. That's it in that entire period of time. Now, if you flip to the West, if you flip to the East, while LeBron James seemingly has a rite of passage to make it to the finals, it's been a revolving door. During that period, you've seen teams like the Sixers, the Pacers, the Nets won the West East a couple of times in that period. So it's clearly fluctuated other than the fact that LeBron James seems to be there every year.
It might be too easy, Jalen, for me to say to you who will be the MVP if you had to vote today, because it might well be Westbrook and maybe it's hard to pick somebody else. I don't know. You may not agree with that, but is that the track we're on right now? Is it difficult to pick anybody other than Westbrook? Or more? Maybe, let me ask you this way: if Oak City goes out in the first round of the playoffs, can Westbrook still be the MVP?
He can be the MVP because it's a regular season award.
I get it.
But if people were voting today, I think Russell Westbrook would win. But as the season arrested, and remember I said this, don't be surprised if James Harden ultimately wins the award.
Well, he's the number two. If Westbrook's number one, I think everybody would agree Harden is number two based on individual performance. And I wonder.
And here's why.
Okay, go ahead.
And here's why. The record for the Houston Rockets probably is going to be better than OKC.
I agree.
And also, he's going to be more efficient. Field goal shooting, three-point shooting. On this pace, they both will be first and second in the league in turnovers. But when you have your usage as high as both of those guys will, it's going to be expected. But I think those attributes for Harden may actually win out, especially as the year progresses, especially if Westbrook continues to be less efficient with his field goal percentage from the floor and from three.
If Durant doesn't go, if Durant stays in Oak City, is Westbrook this player?
I think so. The shift didn't happen with Russell Westbrook. It happened with fans and media. I remember covering their NBA Finals run, and Russell Westbrook was basically vilified by the media based on his style of play. I felt like I was the guy's agent. It was, he needs to play his role and be more of a Robin. Why is this guy taking shots and opportunities away from Kevin Durant? And all Kevin Durant did under that scenario with Russell Westbrook, by the way, is become a league MVP and a four-time scoring champ. So Russell clearly was not holding down his progression. The change started to happen when KD got injured.
Right.
And now Russell showed everyone that he could carry a team. He was getting triple-doubles. He won All-Star Game MVP. His numbers were terrific, and he also, in his own right, became an all-NBA performer. So I'm pretty sure, not only in their own locker room, but in the minds of fans and of media, whose team is it became the bigger conversation, more so than can they win it together. And even though they were up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors, and I would have loved to see them maintain not only their working relationship as teammates and their friendship, it's always unique in the sport of basketball that when you lose, a lot of times the best player plays a major factor in that. So I can only imagine shedding tears with your teammates, talking about we're going to be there next year. Those guys ain't all that. We should have had them. To, wow, you're going to join them a month later and tell me via text at that? So based on the way that played out, that just wasn't a good look for KD, not only to Russell, but for public consumption. But his opportunity to go play as a free agent with the Golden State Warriors can't be understated because they did lose. Had they won and Draymond Green didn't get suspended, he clearly couldn't have joined a 73-win team. Oh, man, we would not have let him live that down. But since they lost, now he could go be the leading scorer on their team. And to the point where we're not talking about Steph Curry first when we mentioned the Warriors, and he was the only unanimous MVP in the league history last season.
Let's turn to the favorite team around here, one of your former teams, the Raptors, with DeRozan and Lowry being the linchpins to the team. Is this team deep enough right now, the way it's designed, to challenge for a championship?
Here's the reality. Whoever gets a chance to lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I say this respectfully, in the Eastern Conference Finals, they can celebrate and understand that they had a really good team. The Cavs are winning the Heat.
Right.
Now, the one thing that did happen for Toronto that Dwayne Casey, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, who've been terrific this year, can appreciate a level of growth that clearly has established themselves as the second-best team in the conference, behind one squad led by LeBron James. Not Boston, not Atlanta, who won 60 games a couple of years ago. And so that dynamic, to me, has been ironed out. They do have the depth. You saw Corey Joseph come in when Lowry was out, scored 30-plus points in the game. Terrence Ross has shown flashes. Valanciunas, I always look at his rebounds and blocks because I think when he's active, he's just a better player. And obviously, their all-star backcourt is going to lead the way.
Do you think Sullinger makes an impact when he gets healthy again? I played for the first time last night this year for the team. His performance in Boston was, I think it's fair to say, sketchy. Some good moments, some not so good moments. Can he be an impactful player? I'm not talking about beating Cleveland. I'm just talking about, can he be a very useful player to this team?
I think so. Based on his body type, we've affectionately on Jalen and Jacoby's radio and television show called him a stretch mark four. He is a guy that when you see him and he starts to launch jumpers and three-pointers, you're like, no, get inside, big fella with that big body. Throw it around. Get some rebounds. Give me some hard fouls. And then all of a sudden he became a player that could actually make those shots in Boston.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, big fella, don't hesitate. We need your contribution. So players like he and Patterson, they're going to be critical to playing quality minutes up front. So, yes, I do think he can have a positive impact as a rotation player if and when used in the right situations.
JR, we thank you very much for your time today. We understand the difficulties you went through earlier, and we'll chat with you somewhere down the road. Thank you, Jalen.
Look forward to it. I appreciate the love.